the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
Glory to thee. Let us attend. At that time, Jesus heard that John had been put in prison. He departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The content and the imagery of this feast of Theophany, as you can imagine, is profoundly, profoundly profound. So let me limit myself, otherwise I'll get lost trying to connect it all together. Let me share with you what I see from my contemplative descent into the imagery specifically of the waters and of the path as they are shown forth in the biblical and liturgical texts for this Feast of Theophany. But first, let's remember the teaching of the Church. At the conception and birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the Most Holy Virgin, earth is joined to heaven, time is united to eternity, man is united to God. For God clothes himself with his creation in the human nature that he receives from the Panagia Theotokos. That teaching reveals to us a divine treasure in the earthen vessel of our human nature. The mystery of God hidden from before the ages is now shown forth, as it says in the Psalms, in the midst of the earth. That is to say, in the midst of this earthen vessel of ours is the mystery of Christ in you. What is outward and visible is earthly, we hear in the praises for the Matins of Theophany. What is inwardly understood is higher than heaven. The baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, this is the outward and the visible earthen garment of space-time that clothes the inward mystery of the Spirit, the eternal heavenly mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is a deeper understanding of this mystery of the Spirit, shown forth by the feast to be in the midst of the earth, in the midst of the Jordan, inside the event of Christ's baptism in the Jordan. This is what I'm seeking to find, because I want to know what I must do to be saved. I want to know how do I go about fulfilling the oath of my baptism to unite myself to Christ. At the seventh ode of the first canon for the Matins of Theophany, we hear this: "The sea and cloud in which the people of Israel were once baptized by Moses, the lawgiver, as they journeyed from Egypt, prefigured the wonder of the baptism of God. The sea was an icon of the water." This would be the water of our baptism. "And the cloud, an icon of the Spirit, whereby we are initiated and cry aloud, Blessed art thou, O God of our fathers. Can you hear in this troparion from the seventh ode of Theophany how our baptism is united with the exodus of old Israel through Christ's baptism in the Jordan? That tells me that to live the Christian faith is to enter upon an exodus of some kind that has the shape of the exodus of the old Israel. Now, the Jordan was at the end of the exodus. When old Israel came out of the wilderness and led by Joshua, entered into the promised land by passing over the Jordan in the same manner that they had passed over the Red Sea. But the Lord's baptism in the Jordan marks for St. Mark the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that the Lord's baptism in the Jordan is shown to pick up where the old Exodus ends. That tells me that the Christian faith, that in the Christian faith, the old Exodus of old Israel has descended to a deeper dimension. I believe we can say that it has descended from what is outward and invisible, and what is outward and visible, into what is inwardly understood. In other words, it has descended into the interior depths of the soul. So now we understand that the exodus of the Christian life is an exodus of the soul in the spirit. And its inner shape is made outwardly visible in the exodus of old Israel. When Christ is raised out of the waters, it says that he saw the heavens split open and the Spirit descending upon him, and that he heard the voice of the Father speaking of the words of the song, which also evoked the word of the Lord to Isaiah the prophet, by the way, when it says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, liturgical texts and the Gospel of St. John make it clear that the he who is seeing and hearing all of this is not Jesus, but St. John the Baptist. Liturgical texts inform us that the Lord was baptized naked, so that what we are seeing is the coronation, the crowning of the new Adam as the King of heaven and earth. There are all kinds of beautiful, profound images here. You know? The Spirit descends on the naked new Adam, as though God is laying on him a garment, a robe, the robe of the Holy Spirit. It's not garments of fig leaves anymore that Adam is wearing. In Christ, we are now wearing the robe of light, the robe of the Holy Spirit. Adam and Eve, their eyes were opened. And what did they see? They saw that they were naked. John the Baptist, the heavens were opened. And what he saw was the Holy Trinity and the Spirit descending upon the dove, upon Christ as the dove. Now, St. Matthew describes the death of the Lord on the cross in this manner. He says, "Jesus cried out again with a great voice," that too takes us back to the prophets. That is a phrase, a great voice that is filled with prophetic implications. And it says, "He let go the Spirit." Now this is the same word, he let go. This is the same word that the Lord says to St. John the Baptist when he says, "Permit it for now," which would seem to show that letting go of the Spirit on the cross was not an involuntary death rattle, but rather when it says that Jesus gave up the Spirit, it was the Holy Spirit that he was giving up in a conscious, voluntary, and intentional and profoundly theological act. and that he was sending forth the Spirit. And you read Matthew's gospel. It says he lets go of the Spirit, or he sends the Spirit forth. And what happens? All of it, immediately, there's a great earthquake. The heaven, the rocks are splitting open. The curtain of the temple splits open. The tombs split open. And the dead come out. All of this from letting go of the Spirit. I mean, you see the parallel again. At theophany, the Spirit descends upon him and clothes him as a robe of light. On the cross, the Lord is letting the Spirit, and he's sending it forth into the world as though to clothe the world with his Holy Spirit. And suddenly, you know, creation, what would you say? It begins to recreate itself, is what's happening. I should say it's beginning to be recreated by Christ. It says that, behold, the curtain of the temple was split in two when he dies on the cross. It says that the curtain was split, and it's translated into the English as from top to bottom. But in the Greek, it's from above to below. When you understand the theology, you know, the significance of the curtain in the temple and the connection to the body of Christ as the temple, you suddenly understand that when the curtain of the temple is split from above to below, what's being said is that the curtains of the heavens are being split, being opened from heaven all the way up above into heaven, all the way down into hell. And we see this, we experience this every time the royal doors are opened in the Holy Church. As I said, the earth quaked, the rocks were split open, the tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth out of the tomb was after his holy resurrection. They entered into the holy city, it says. That's the heavenly Jerusalem, dear faithful. They were entering into the holy city of the heavenly Jerusalem. And they were seen by many. And it says the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, were greatly afraid. And they said, truly this was the Son of God. Truly, amen. You don't say that except in response to something. What was the centurion responding to when he says, truly, amen, this was the Son of God? Is it not clear that what the centurion saw on the cross when Christ dies is exactly what St. John the Baptist saw at the theophany? And for that matter, it's what you and I were given to see when we were received into the church through holy baptism, and we were given the creed to say as our own. And what is the content of that creed, if not a vision of what St. John the Baptist saw at the Jordan and what St. Longinus the centurion saw at the cross? We are given to see it too. The heavens are open for us in the faith of the church, and we see into the mystery of God that was hidden from before the ages, this mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we say with the centurion, in agreement with what the voice of the Father just said, we say, yes, truly, amen, this is the Son of God, the King of Israel, the King of heaven and earth. The deeper exodus of the Christian faith, in other words, from all of this, is shown to be an exodus that takes us from our union with Christ at the font of our baptism, the font of the Jordan, to our union with Christ in the tomb of our heart. Our heart, that the prophet Jeremiah said, do you remember, is beyond all things. Or shall we say, beyond the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Red Sea, what I see are that these are the waters of death. But if we are dead in our sins and trespasses, as St. Paul says, and if the tomb As St. Macarius of Alexandria says, we are to understand when we hear of the Lord's tomb is the tomb of our heart, then the waters of death, dear faithful, are the hidden depths of our own heart. The Christian faith is a spiritual exodus into the wilderness of our soul. From the font, we are led by the cloud of the Spirit, as was Israel from the Red Sea, as was the Lord from the Jordan. We are led into the desert of our soul, and to Golgotha, and to the tomb of the Lord that is outside the city. In other words, we are led inward. And this is repentance, to turn around, and to face and to confront the emptiness and the loneliness of our spiritual death, and to do battle in the wilderness of our soul with our fallen will that wants to escape the terrors of our spiritual death by fleeing outwardly into the city, thinking it will find refuge there in all the distractions and the aversions and the sensual pleasures that are visible and outward in the city. Your faithful, the sacred texts of the church tell us of two paths. The one path leads to death, the other, it says, leads to life. But, dear faithful, both paths are paths of death. You can't get out of it. You can't get out of it. Go that way, you're going to die. Go that way, you're going to die. Which death do you want? The one path leads to death inside the city, in the tombs of the world. And we read about those in the Holy Gospel. The tombs of the Gergesenes, the Gadarenes. The other path leads outside the city, into the desert of the soul, and into the tomb of the heart. Might this be the path that St. John the Baptist is speaking of in the word of the prophets when he says, prepare the path, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, his roads. Is it the path at the spot that the psalmist speaks of? Listen to the psalm and hear both theophany and Pascha. It says in the psalm, the waters saw thee, O God, and feared. The deeps were troubled. There was a great sound of waters. The clouds uttered a voice. Think of Jesus crying out again on the cross with a great voice. The voice of thy thunder was abroad. Think of the voice of the Father at the Jordan. The earth trembled and quaked. Think of the earth quaking and trembling at the death of the Lord on the cross. Thy way, O Lord, is in the sea, it says, and thy paths in many waters. Yet thy footsteps cannot be known, because they are inwardly understood. You understand? They're not outward and visible. They're inwardly understood. Thou dost guide thy people like sheep. Thou who dost lead Joseph like a flock. And in this morning's gospel, we hear from the prophet, land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali. That's the first line, because this is a poet, a poem. A poem, I think we need to understand. It's a poem, so that's how we get the meaning of it. The first line, land of Naphtali, land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali. Second line, the way of the sea. The second line explains more deeply what's going on in the first line. Then it goes on beyond the Jordan. And then the next line, Galilee of the Gentiles. Three lines, all of them connected to one another and what they mean inwardly. So I see this speaking, I see this poem from the prophet speaking of the waters of death that we swim in. For these three lines are joined to this other word of the prophet where it says, those who sat in the region and shadow of death. It's like St. Matthew is giving it away. You know, he's giving the meaning. You don't have to know, understand, you know, the structure and the way that Hebraic poetry works. Just read what St. Matthew, he's giving it away what it means. He says, Those who sat in the region in shadow of death have seen a great light. And so this passage that we heard from the gospel this morning, quoting from the prophets, it is a referent. Its referent is the realm of the soul, in which, as we read in St. John's Gospel, in which the Lord takes up his dwelling and pitches his tent among us, after he has triumphed over the devil in the wilderness. So when it says that he began to preach and to say, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand," we now see the inward heavenly mystery that is referred to in the liturgical text for Theophany, when it says, "The Lord hastened to bear all creation down into the stream." What's the stream? It's the stream of his life creating and death destroying death. "And bring all of creation," it goes on to say, "to bring all of creation to the better and changeless path. This is the way of the Lord that is in the sea." In other words, in the tomb of our heart where we are dead. "This is the way of the Lord, by which we ascend to God, if we would but repent and look for that path that goes outside of the city and leads to the tomb of the Lord at Golgotha." We go into the tomb of our heart as into the waters of the Jordan, the waters of death. But the waters of the Jordan are the waters of death. Let's hear what the liturgical text say what is happening when he goes into the Jordan. It says that he splits the waters in two. Just like he split the curtain of the temple in two. And just like the curtains of the heavens were split in two. He splits the waters of the Jordan when he goes and pierces it. You know, like the living, active word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. He goes into the water, he pierces it like a sword, and he splits it in two. And what happens? He leads us out into and onto the spiritual exodus of the Christian faith, that we might walk on this better and changeless path that is found inwardly in our soul, the way of obedience to the will of God. This is how we find it. Repentance and obedience to the will of God. In this way of the sea that is beyond the Jordan, that ascends to God in the triumph of our heavenly King, the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Brothers and sisters, where are we going now? Where are we going now? To Pascha. From the Jordan to the tomb. The fast is too soon. It's what? 7-8 weeks away from now, too soon. You come into the Orthodox Church, I think we need to make sure that you understand that you're not going to eat when you come into the church. So how serious are you when you come into the church? But let's understand that we're getting ready. We need to start getting ourselves psychologically ready now for the fast. And let's remind ourselves that what we're doing when we take up the fast, we're taking up the cross in obedience. Even if the fast means nothing else, the simple fact that it's commanded of us is enough reason to do it, because we're doing it out of obedience. And it's through that obedience that we find this inner path of the exodus that leads into the tomb of our heart and unites us to the tomb of Christ, and becomes the font, the birth of our resurrection. That's what we're getting ready to do. May the Lord God help us. Let us help one another. We're praying for one another, being good to one another, and encouraging one another in the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is in our midst. The joy of the feast be with you. Amen.